Listening to the Damaged Goods Radio Podcast, featuring your hosts Matt Dunn, Chris Lahr, and Emily Davidson.
Hello, you're listening to Damaged Goods on Little Riley Radio. And my name is Matt Dunn, and I'm here... Actually, who am I here with, I should say?
I am Chris Lahr, a.k.a. DJ Doonsting, here again for the umpteenth time. Loving it.
And you're not sick of it yet?
Absolutely not.
Well, you know, like... I imagine Mick Jagger must get tired of Satisfaction sometimes. I don't know, maybe he's not. Maybe he's like, I'm rolling in my money, I don't care.
He's
like,
rolling his stones.
Right, exactly, literally. And yeah, so this is yet another episode of Damaged Goods Radio, the...
greatest radio show in the known universe.
You know, that's one way to put it. I think we're up to a 3.7 out of 5 on iTunes as a rating.
Damn right we are.
So, which has got to be better than the... you know, the usual rating at your local Taco Bell. So we've your move, Taco Bell.
Your move.
So yeah, I'm really excited about the show tonight, as I always am.
We got some good stuff in store for y'all.
We do. We have an interview with a band out of Seattle, Washington. They're called Taco Cat. And how do you say that backwards?
Taco Cat.
That's right. It's a great band. That we I had the pleasure of interviewing at the Pinhook in Durham recently, and a really cool band, really nice people, and they put on a great live show. So also we have my new favorite segment of the show, which is the weird food news segment,
and it is also taco related.
There you go. I'm loving it. So but you're gonna have to wait for that. It's coming a little later. We also have...
we just ain't going to give it away.
Right. We're not the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And not ready to give it away now. So we also have your Australian track of the week. We have your Swedish track of the week.
Oh, shit.
Brought to you by our producer, Emily, who couldn't make it tonight, but she did send in a Swedish track of the week. So I am much looking forward to that.
She is with us in spirit.
She is, absolutely. And I did, like I said, I promised you an interview with Taco Cat, so I'm going to give it to you, and then you'll be stuck hearing us babble for like 3 or 4 hours after that, so...
that's right.
It's going to be all downhill after that.
DJ Two-Headed Dog promises Taco Cat, he's going to deliver Taco Cat. That's the damaged exactly. Goods guarantee.
That's right. And we're also going to hear, of course, a track from... the new Taco Cat album called This Mess Is a Place, which I really like that title.
That is a good title.
Yeah. So, without further ado, here is my new interview with the band Taco Cat. Hello, this is Matt with Damaged Goods Radio, and I'm here at the Pinhook in Durham, North Carolina, and I'm here with a band from Seattle called Taco Cat. I was wondering if you could introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Leela. I play drums in Taco Cat.
Hi, I'm Bree. I play a bass in Taco Cat.
And who else is in the band?
Our singer and tambourinist and keyboardist is named Emily Noakes, and our guitarist is Eric Randall.
And how long has Taco Cat been a band for?
It's funny you ask that, because we just hit our 12-year mark of, like, our first show ever. We just posted a photo on Instagram where we're literal children, like, in ill-fitting, weird clothes, like, ready to play our first show. And so, yeah, 12 years.
We look like babies. We don't know about style yet, I don't think. Like, Bree's clearly, like, got the memo. Me and Emily are just, like, wearing garbage. Like, but Bree, you know, she looks cute. But anyway, yeah, so 12 years ago, about.
12 years, you've outlasted the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. We've been trying to punk those guys for a long time. Finally got it.
We're going for Queen. Because wasn't Queen a band for like 10 years before anyone even heard of them?
I think so.
Yeah, that's our vibe.
If you're going for Queen, then have you written your Bohemian Rhapsody yet?
No, not yet. That's coming.
We want something.
Definitely coming.
Something that long.
And so you're touring on your new album, This Mess Is a Place. And how long did it take to record that album?
That album took a couple weeks to record, and we probably spent the most time on it of anything. It's our prize baby. We love
so much. And, you know, it's our first album on Sub Pop, which is cool. It's a big Seattle dream.
And how did you get hooked up with Sub Pop Records?
We've been on an imprint of Sub Pop called Hardly Art for the last couple of years. And, yeah, so it just felt like the next logical step.
And Shannon and the Clams were on Hardly Art too, right?
They were. A lot of great stuff on that roster. Chastity Belt, Shannon and the Clams.
Dude York.
Yeah, Dude York is awesome.
I did want to ask you about one of your older songs. Is there a story behind the song I Hate the Weeknd?
Yeah.
There's many stories behind that song. We've all worked various service work jobs over the last, 12 years of being a band, because that's what you have to do to be an artist when you're struggling and stuff. And when you work service work, you usually work on the weekends. And that's usually the time where everyone's partying, but you're working very hard. Yeah. Sometimes I think about Wayne's World, that scene where he's just like, I don't do Wayne's World for a living. Let's just say I have a collection of hairnets and name tags.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just like, but yeah, that's like kind of the stories behind that song.
I also heard that Taco Cat was big fans of Cheerwine, the North Carolina soda.
Well, yeah, we are big fans of Cheerwine. I first heard of it from a friend of mine who was touring here before I'd ever come here. He's like, Lila, in North Carolina, they have this magical soda. It's like a cherry soda. I still don't know what it is. It's like magic cherry flavor. And then Eric caught wind of that, had his first Cheerwine, and it was just like all over. There's nothing better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the first time we had Cheerwine, Leela had mentioned it, but I wasn't really paying attention, and I thought it was an alcoholic, like, brunch beverage or something. I was like, Cheerwine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was at Cookout, which we've already gone to on this tour. We love Cookout.
Oh, yeah, it's a Southern classic.
Oh, there's nothing like it. It's so delicious and so cheap, and it just has everything. And like, why aren't Hush Puppies like a national food group?
Are there no Hush Puppies in Washington State?
Washington State doesn't know what a Hush Puppy is.
Have you thought about reaching out to any of these companies to write maybe a jingle for Cookout or Cheerwine?
Oh my God. No, we haven't, but that's a really good idea.
On your new album, you have a song called Hologram. I know a lot of deceased musicians are coming out on hologram tours now, such as Frank Zappa, Roy Orbison. I think Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly are doing a tour together. And my producer, Emily, just mentioned that Whitney Houston is doing a hologram tour as well.
No way.
So do you think, can you envision a time in the future when there'll be a Taco Cat hologram tour?
I would be so honored. I feel like if this is for the legendary acts of our time, if we could get to that status and then someday become holograms, I think that's like the ultimate goal.
Yeah. We could be watching like the Golden Girls or something at home while our holograms are working hard on the road.
I wanted to ask you about playing Coachella. Did you play Coachella earlier this year?
No, we played Coachella in 2017.
Yeah.
17 or 16?
Yeah, 17. 17. Yeah, 2 years ago.
What was that like?
Weird.
Dude, the first 5 minutes I was at Coachella, I looked around and I was like, there's no way I'm not the poorest girl at Coachella.
Did you see a lot of Instagram influencers there?
I mean, I saw a bunch of people who maybe were that, and like, I don't know them, you know, like, or I don't know about any Instagram influencers personally. I know they exist. I know it's a big industry these days. I know they're all at Coachella.
Yeah, there's a lot of white gauze clothing there for sure. And Ariana Grande was sitting next to us at the like backstage lunch catering thing.
Is there like a cafeteria backstage with all the famous people eating lunch?
Yeah, it's the cafeteria or whatever is for all like performers or
staff or, you know, managers, those kind of people.
Like guitar techs.
Yeah, like all the performers and industry people who are working at Coachella, essentially. Not the people who are, like, working, but the people who are performing and whatever. We all sit in a big tent together and eat. So, obviously, Ariana Grande is going to be there somewhere. I didn't see her. I didn't see any famous people the entire time we were at Coachella. We hung out with Father John Misty in his trailer. I missed that somehow. I don't know.
And also, were you interviewed for High Times magazine recently?
That was like 2016, maybe.
Yeah, that was on the last album cycle, but we've kind of done stuff with High Times on and off throughout the years.
Did they give you an award for something?
No, I wish.
I thought I read that they'd give you some type of...
I think we might have joked in interviews about winning a high... It's a funny, like, title. I can't remember what it's called.
Miss High Times?
Not Miss High Times.
I'd also heard that you were considering doing some TV theme songs. I heard you were considering covering the Clarissa Explains It All theme song.
Ooh.
Is that still in the works? Or did that never come...
Trying to think of how that goes.
Someone said that during an interview. I forget.
Maybe we were joking around. Again, we just say a lot of stuff sometimes.
There is a little graffiti above my bedroom door that says Lila Explains It All. So I don't know who wrote that there, but apparently my bedroom reminds them of Clarissa.
And there was also a mention of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer theme song.
Me and Eric have said we want to cover the Buffy. We did the current theme song to the Powerpuff Girls cartoon.
Yeah.
And that was cool. But yeah, covering theme songs is a cool move.
Have you done other cover songs besides Powerpuff Girls?
Oh, that wasn't a cover. We performed it for the show.
Okay.
They use it for the credits.
Okay.
It's like the intro.
But have you done, as far as at Taco Cat shows, have you done cover songs at all?
Oh yeah, many over the years. Every Christmas we do Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Most recently we did Psycho Killer. What else did we do, Layla?
Also for Christmas we'll do Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight by the Ramones. And we used to cover the Primitives.
Was it Crash?
Yeah, we used to cover Crash. That was a good one.
That's a classic.
We used to kind of like prepare a cover for every tour, a fresh one, you know? We didn't do that this time.
We have so many songs now to choose from, and our menu of many albums that now we're like, we just didn't do that this time.
A song that's all like been in the cover folder, maybe we'll cover it folder, is You're So Vain by Joni Mitchell. I've been gunning for that one for a while, but I don't know. But
well, has anyone ever done a Taco Cat cover?
Yes. They're out there. I don't know. I've seen a bunch of them. But I don't know. Do you know more specifically who they are?
Oh, just a lot of kids, a lot of ukuleles, a lot of rock bands. Just like, it's on YouTube. You can Google it. But yeah, they're out there for sure. Nothing too striking that stands out to me right now that I remember, but they exist.
Well, so if someone's never been to Seattle, what do they need to check out when they go there?
The Space Needle, the Kurt Cobain bench.
That's kind of it.
Yeah, that's it.
And I hear there's a arcade with a Point Break Patrick Swayze mural in it.
Oh, yeah, that place is great. It's in Fremont.
Is it Attaball?
Attaball.
Okay, Attaball.
Yeah, Attaball's awesome. There's a game, I really lost my mind on this one game by that mural. It's good. I can't remember what it's called.
You've played shows with the band Wimps as well?
Yeah, we played a bunch of shows with Wimps over... the years. They're awesome.
I also wanted to ask you, what do you think is the most requested Taco Cat song at your shows?
I kind of think Crimson Wave, I think, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
People shout out a lot of stuff.
I don't remember.
remember. Our good friend Alex in Detroit demanded we play an old song we haven't in like a decade called Party Trap. But he's done that probably more than anyone else. So I think that that's our most requested song.
And also I think in the video for Crimson Wave, there was a rumor that Katy Perry ripped off the video for Crimson Wave. Did you ever hear anything back from her?
You know, I do have a funny story about this. So I went to this show on Vashon Island, which is one of the little islands off Seattle. And Vashon's a weird place. It's like, sometimes rich, famous people go live there, but like very few of them. And I was at this show, my friend Ty, who's like born and raised there, he's like, see that guy over there? That's Katy Perry's manager. And I was like, no shit. And I was like, I just had to go talk to him. I was like, hey guy, what's up? Isn't this band great? It was like small talk. And I was like, okay, I just gotta know something. I play in this band, Taco Cat. Years ago we had this video, blah, blah, blah. And then everybody came out of the woodwork saying, oh man, Katy Perry totally ripped you guys off. And I was like, did you? Like, did you see that video? Do you know about this? Has this ever crossed your email or whatever? And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, okay, confirmed.
So do you believe him or do you think it was...
I think I believe him. Oh. Yeah. I mean, we were just like shooting the shit like at a really chill like backyard show. You know, like he had no reason to lie to me.
Except lawsuits.
He knows better than to mess with Taco Cat. So has Taco Cat played a lot of music festivals?
Yeah, we have played quite a few.
Coachella was the biggest?
But absolutely. I mean, I think Coachella is the biggest music festival in the United States, right? Yeah.
Sounds about right.
We haven't played a bunch overseas. We might do that hopefully next
May.
Yeah, like next May.
Or something, whenever festival season kicks off.
Yeah.
You weren't on the Fyre Festival lineup, were you?
Unfortunately, no.
We're trying to get in for the next one, right?
What could go wrong, right? Mm-hmm. How many albums has Taco Cat put out so far?
4.
And many EPs and tapes.
Yes.
And are they all mostly in print still?
No. We've made a lot of like tapes and 7-inches on DIY labels that no longer exist. So if you have them, then you have them, and we don't have most of them.
I certainly don't have them.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Danzig from the Misfits, he won't autograph bootlegs of his work. So if someone had a Taco Cat bootleg, would you autograph it?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, that seems fine.
Would you be curious, like, how they came across a Taco Cat bootleg?
Yes, I would. I might have to ask.
I'd be impressed. Yeah. I'd be impressed enough to do that and then maybe try to buy it off them.
So where's the best place to go online if someone wants to hear Taco Cat's music?
TacoCat.com, and then you can buy the record or you can hit it up on Bandcamp or Spotify, Tidal, iTunes, wherever.
Amazon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what's the other one?
Well, there is a bunch.
Apple. It's on Apple. Oh. I saw our record for sale literally at Target.com. That was really funny.
Well, lastly, I wanted to ask you about the song Dana Catherine Scully. Whose idea was it to do the video and the company's the song? It's a great video.
Oh, yeah. That was my idea, actually. So we love that song, and we wanted it to have a music video, blah, blah, blah. Our budget was kind of running out, and our team, whatever, the people who manage us, or the record label guys really wanted us to go with, like, this other route, and it didn't seem like it fit the song right. And I was like, can we just make our own video? Like, we don't have to have a huge budget. Like, we'll just do it on the cheap, you know? Like, we have some ideas and they could be really fun. And they were like, oh, we'll get back to you. And then a couple days later, we're like, I guess. So yeah, I mean, yeah, Emily and I kind of made that together. We shot it all on our iPhones. That's awesome. And I edited it in iMovie.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, we just want to do something really funny, you know, or kind of more expressive of like who we are. Because a lot of times when you do videos, you get all kinds of flavors from the people who are creating the video, which, we, you know, we work with them, we choose them. That's all like wonderful. But that one was like 100% us. So that was cool.
And lastly, are there any future plans for Taco Cat?
The future?
Yeah. I mean, our album came out 2 weeks ago. We have a shitload of touring coming up.
Yep.
West Coast after this tour, then Europe, and then the world. Pinky.
Thanks for talking to us today on Damaged Goods Radio.
Hey, thanks for having us. This is really great.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to meet you guys.
So we had some technical difficulties there. So
we're back on track.
Oh, and thank you, Emily, for letting me hear us on. Okay, so
hi, Emily.
Hello, Emily. We miss you.
We do. We're holding a seat for you.
We are absolutely.
Some guy tried to sit in there, and we showed him the door. We're like, no, that's Emily's chair.
All right. So anyway, you are still listening to Damaged Goods Radio, the Guinness Book of World Records holder for the most technical difficulties.
That's right.
And my name is Matt Dunn, and I'm here with my co-host with the most.
Chris Lahr, DJ Doonsting. Got a little tongue-tied there. Another technical difficulty.
And if you're just tuning in, you heard Taco Cat with the track The Joke of Life off of their latest album called This Mess is a Place on Sub Pop Records. And before that, you heard an interview with the band Taco Cat I did recently at the Pinhook in Durham, North Carolina. And yeah, so what did you think of Taco Cat?
I thought they were rad. I loved them. Good
yeah,
sound.
Yeah, great band.
Kind of got a, almost like a, kind of almost like a 60s California surfy kind of
they
sound
to it.
They do
have a little bit of that.
And I dug it. I dug them. They were great.
Yeah, and if I think we talked about it in the interview a little bit, but they have a song called Crimson Wave, and the video has this weird shark thing running around. And then I think when Katy Perry played the Super Bowl a few years ago, there was the
left shark.
Right, and people were saying there's a very odd coincidence with Katy Perry's video compared to Taco Cat's. But you heard it from Taco Cat. They don't think it's a ripoff, so it's just one of those weird coincidences, I guess.
If anyone ripped off anyone, I'd say Perry ripped off Taco Cat, because I don't think she has much originality in her music.
Well, the audience at home will have to make up their minds, I guess.
Right. We want to hear from you, studio audience.
So, actually, it's now that we've gotten all of our antennas set and we've got our...
our shit plugged in.
Right. We've got our, you know, pirate radio boombox thing going here.
We got a fake feed to throw off the man.
Right. Exactly. Just like that movie, Pump Up the Volume. But this is actually our favorite, or I don't know, but my favorite part of the show, which is the weird food news.
The news you need to know.
Right. So we're starting out actually in North Carolina. There's a brewery in Utah called Wasatch Brewery, and they've been brewing beer for over 30 years. And one of their more popular beverages is the Polygamy Porter.
Their slogan is "You can't have just one." that's actually the truth.
Oh, so you already knew that? Okay, that's great.
I knew about Polygamy Porter. Yeah.
So the beer has. The problem is that the North Carolina was set to become the 21st state where you could get Polygamy Porter. However, the state's Alcohol Beverage Control Commission, otherwise known as ABC 123, they have rejected this beer. So this beer is actually banned in North Carolina, and the reasoning is that polygamy is illegal, therefore these products will not be approved.
What? So if I called my beer, you know, Murder Mocha Mayhem Beer, and because it was called Murder, it would be banned in this state because murder's illegal.
Jaywalking Ale. That's gonna be my beer. Yeah, I don't know. That's
Tax Evasion Porter.
And they also went on to clarify the ABC commission that. Representing something illegal is undignified and in bad taste. So
you can't have something like, you know, public protesting without a permit, Porter. That's lame.
So they're, well, Wasatch is planning to appeal the ruling, and they already sell other beers in the state, so it's pretty, I feel like that's a pretty unusual move.
Well, it's, I don't really credit the ABC for a lot of brains. You know, I had this really bad experience a couple months ago. So it was the day after Easter. You know, it was, quote, Easter Monday, which isn't really a thing. It's just the Monday after Easter Sunday. And I went to the ABC store in Wake Forest, in Wake County, and it was closed. And it said, in observance of Easter Monday, we are closing. And I'm like, what the hell? Well, it's not a holiday.
Right, right.
And they're doing it because they're observing Easter, which means that's church and state doing their thing. Of course, for those that don't know, in North Carolina, ABC stores, you can only buy liquor at designated stores during designated times, never on a Sunday. They're always closed on Sunday. So if you want to buy your fifth of anything, you need to buy it by Saturday night when they close.
So if you want Chick-fil-A and liquor, you're out of out of luck.
You're out of Sundays. Shit out of luck in North Carolina. Yeah.
So,
and apparently if you want a polygamy porter, you're also out of luck. I can't believe that.
Yeah, that one, I feel like that's strange because they're really going, yeah, like you're saying, I mean, you can buy like movies and books about serial killers, which it's illegal to be a serial killer if I'm not mistaken.
Rumor has it that it could right. be. I'm no lawyer.
So why is it like cool to just, you know, be like, oh, we don't like the name of this beer, like that? I mean, that's just, I kind of want to know who's, I feel like we should reach out to the ABC commission, see if they'll respond to the whole, you know, the whole debacle.
That's, I wonder if we could get like the cast of that Lifetime show or Discovery Network, the sister wives, the actual polygamists,
right?
And get their opinion on this. I wonder what they think of polygamy porter.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
maybe not.
Sometimes these news segments,
they go off on weird tangents,
right? And they just leave me at a loss for words.
I can't believe because they have an illegal thing in their title, they're gonna ban it in the state. That is crazy.
Basically, so. Have you got some food news for us?
So this one comes from upstate New York. On July 13th, an upstate New York woman posted a photo of the nachos she allegedly received at the Taco Bell in Fishkill, New York. In addition to pico de gallo, sour cream, and guacamole, her chips were topped with an odd-looking round object she originally thought was a doorknob. Her social media response, and this was written in all caps, Taco Bell, I'm coming to fuck someone up real funny putting a fucking doorknob in my nachos, bitch. She told the Hudson Valley Post. An employee messaged her on Facebook and identified the plastic bit as a part of the pump from the nacho cheese dispenser. They offered to buy her reimburse her for the cost of her nachos. So it was a happy ending for all.
So do you think that... Whose side do you take in this debacle?
You know, I'm gonna, even though her response was a little over exaggerated, coming to fuck someone up real funny for putting a fucking doorknob in my nachos, bitch. I'm gonna side with her because, you know, they should be inspecting their product, particularly a food product, before they give it to the public, and having a big giant round plastic thingy in your nachos seems pretty. That's hard to miss.
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean,
I'm starting to think that it might have been done deliberately.
Yes, we did say allegedly, so she can't sue us. But I mean, if it was an actual doorknob, I'd say it was on purpose. But they said it was part of the nacho dispensing machine, and if you Google it, you can actually find a picture of it. And it looks nasty as hell. I mean, it does look like a doorknob, but apparently it's nacho dispensing technology.
So is there, and our spiritual co-host Emily says the customer is always right. Also known as DJ Fire Packet Hot Sauce, or sorry, DJ Fire Packet's Hot Sauce.
That's right.
So, I don't know. I think this kind of, I know like there's sometimes food places have secret menu items you can order. Do you have to like order a special way to not get the doorknob in your in your food? Like,
I'd like the Nachos Bel Grande sans doorknob.
Well, you know, because like you go to Waffle House, you're like, I want it smothered, covered, diced, and sliced, or whatever. Like, you know, there's got to be some kind of hip lingo for Taco Bell for that. That's gonna be.
I'm not hip enough to know that.
Yeah,
I know if you go to that. There's a chain of burgers on the western part of our country called In-N-Out Burger, and they apparently have a lot of secret menu items.
They do, that's right. So I've actually, that's what I've heard at least. I've never actually been out there to In-N-Out Burger. But.
And Mellow Mushroom has some secret menu items.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, Melinda, she orders what's called a Freshies, and it's not on the menu. Basically, it's what they call a margarita. Instead of calling it a margarita, which would make sense, they call it a Freshies. For reasons, and that's not on the menu, but you can order a Freshies.
Well, have you had a Freshies? Is it any good? Or a Freshies, I should say?
Eh, It's, I don't know, margarita pizzas, they're okay, but it's just tomatoes and basil and cheese, and I like to load my pizza up with, like, banana peppers and onions and as much veggies as I can put on that
thing. Right.
Anything but meat. Not,
okay.
Not anti-meat. I just think meat on pizza is gross because it's usually gross meat.
Fair enough.
But no doorknobs.
No doorknobs. Okay.
Do not want doorknobs on my pizza.
Well, speaking of dangerous situations, two sushi restaurants in Madison, Wisconsin have recently sustained damages of about $575,000 from two fires that occurred in April and May. So the Madison Fire Department, they looked into the situation to find out what caused the fire. And by the way, no one was injured, so don't worry about that. But the sushi had apparently spontaneously combusted.
Holy crap.
Causing a fire. And they actually found that, 5 incidents of fires caused by sushi crunchies across the entire United States. And this kind of, like, I'm kind of, like, I saw this and I was like, how? Like, is this possible?
So that little crunchy stuff they sprinkle over, like, the spider demon crazy rolls, you know, at sushi restaurants. And it spontaneously combusts.
Well, I mean, I never thought of, like, sushi as, like, a dangerous food to cook or to consume. I mean, provided that it's, you know,
it's made properly.
Yeah, man. Like, I think of, I mean, maybe I think it, if anything, it's, you know, the opposite. Like, oh, you didn't, you know, it's too raw or something like that. But the fact that it was...
You ate puffer fish and they forgot to prepare it right.
Right, so, yep, but like, that
an
it's
hour to live.
Too, that it would cause fires, to me, is just doesn't really make sense. So,
That's crazy.
Apparently, according to the Madison, Wisconsin Fire Department, the fires were caused by a food preparation technique where oil used to make a tempura-like crunch self-heats and spontaneously combusts.
Can you imagine that? You're getting, like, your spider roll and they, or your volcano roll or whatever they want to call it, and they give it out to you and it just bursts into flames right in front of your face. That would freak me out. But it could... It'd be neat to watch it happen to someone else, I think, but right. I wouldn't want it to happen to me. But, yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
Not as crazy as the North Carolina ABC board, but darn, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder if people are going to, like, is there a way to order, like, I want it just below spontaneous combustion level?
I want the non-flammable sushi, please.
Right.
With a side of doorknobs, sands, nachos.
We've got some exciting menu items here to choose from. So.
That's right.
Yeah, so you got some more food news?
So here's another one, another taco-related news since we're on the subject. KOCO in Oklahoma City. A litter of puppies. I said a liter of puppies. A litter... Liter of puppies. That's kind of morbid if you think about it.
That is a little bit.
Sorry about that, audience.
Maybe a liter of slush puppies would be better.
That would be good.
I'd be okay with that.
Get a little diabetes, but hey, it's the risk we take.
Right.
For the things we love. All right. A litter of puppies named after Taco Bell menu items are looking for, quote, forever homes in Oklahoma City. Allie Turley Young said in a Facebook post a few months ago that she and her husband volunteered to foster a terrier that was on the shelter's kill list that day. Awesome. Sponsoring, not the kill list, but sponsoring the dog so it wouldn't get killed. They nicknamed it Taco Bell, B-E-L-L-E. Later, they discovered Taco Bell was pregnant and gave birth to multiple puppies. And they named them Cinnamon Twist, Crunch Wrap Supreme, Doritos Locos, Quesarito, Gordita, Chalupa, Bell Grande, and Fiesta Potato.
I didn't hear about this. Wow, that's...
Yeah. This was on just last week. I think if I was going to pick, which dog, based on those names, would you be picking out of the litter for you?
Cinnamon Twist.
Cinnamon Twist? You do like the Cinnamon Twists.
To me, that's the only real, I don't know if good is the right word, but like,
palatable, pleasurable.
Yeah, that's like
non.
That's my favorite thing at Taco Bell to eat is a cinnamon twist.
It's the most non-terrible.
Yeah, and it's just like a bunch of sugar anyway. So and cinnamon. So what is there not to love?
I think based on this, I would probably go with I think Crunchwrap Supreme.
Okay.
I think.
Why that? Is that just one of your favorite menu items there? Or is it...
Well, no, just because it's supreme.
Yeah.
And it's got the word crunch in it, so.
That's true. That's two positives.
I mean, that's. Well, I wonder what Emily would take if she was listening in.
I think she would go for Fiesta Potato.
So. Fiesta Potato?
Yeah, that's her answer.
The party potato.
Exactly.
If you like Fiesta Potato, getting caught at Taco Bell. Okay, enough of that. But yeah, I think I've never known anyone to name pets after fast food.
Yeah, that's kind of a new low in fast food culture, maybe. I don't know. Or a new high, maybe, depending on your outlook.
So, like, if you had a dog and you were going to name it after any fast food menu item, and it could be from any chain, what would you name it? Like, if it was like a Big Mastiff, you could name it Big Mac, or if it was a tiny dog, like.
So does it have to be a fast food item that is still in production?
I'll let you pick. No, it doesn't have to.
So I would say McPizza, because I listened to this podcast recently called Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard that one. It's called Whatever Happened to Pizza.
That's the actual title of the podcast. And they're actually it's just one guy basically, but he is a comedian from LA, I believe. And he's actually coming to the Hopscotch Music Festival in Raleigh I'm not sure what he's going to do exactly, but he's going to be there in some capacity. I don't know if he's recording an episode or what.
We have to have him on the show.
Yeah, I absolutely. So it's a pretty funny show. I mean, it's part comedy, like part satire, part I would say part reality, so it's kind of like the line blurs a little bit. I kind of enjoy that
little bit of that surrealism there,
because he actually, which I never knew this until I read it, but years ago they had pizza at McDonald's. Have you ever had pizza at McDonald's?
I don't even want to think about the existence of such a thing.
So apparently in the, I think, the late 80s to mid 90s, at one point I think they had about 500 McDonald's restaurants that had McPizza in it.
McPizza.
And
that's a great name.
Yeah, I don't know. And the whole podcast, he's trying to figure out what happened to it. And so he calls up McDonald's, and I haven't listened to the whole thing because there's 150 episodes of this podcast.
He really wants to find out. Now, does he want to find out because he liked the pizza and he wants it back, or is it just a mystery he's trying to solve? Or,
well, I think it's like a mystery, because every time he asks someone, like, no one knows, or they like can't comment on it. So
I can't imagine it sold very well.
Yeah, and the funny part is he finds, spoiler alert, not really, but kind of. He finds a McDonald's in the United States that still sells pizza.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, why do you sell pizza and like no one else does? And there's this, and you know, a lot of people, I mean, granted, a lot of people probably didn't work there back in the 80s or 90s. They probably don't know. They don't remember McPizza or whatever. So
the tremendous legacy of the McPizza.
Right. And yeah, it just seems like something that's extremely unappealing, even if like you're not concerned with like health or anything like that. I mean, like to me, like I get why certain items are popular. Like, you know, like even if I don't eat them, like I still understand the appeal of them. But pizza at McDonald's just doesn't,
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't get a burger from Pizza Hut.
Well, you know, it's interesting and I'll mention this, but then we're going to go back to this subject, because one of the food news items was that KFC in France is selling chicken tender tacos. So you got you got Burger King selling tacos, McDonald's selling pizza, KFC selling tacos. It's called the double taco. That's what they call it. It's like a hard shell, then a soft shell, then they put chicken tenders in it with all the accoutrements. But it's like every chain wants to sell foods that aren't theirs.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and it's strange that Burger King has a vegan burger now, the Impossible Burger.
I've heard about that, yeah. That's
pretty crazy, but yeah, I think that...
It's good they're making the option available, but...
It is, it's just it's surprising.
It's something I don't go
times
to...
Times are changing, as Bob Dylan would say.
That's right. I think people... I don't associate Burger King with the Impossible Burger. Not saying that the... I've had it once at Remedy, and I think the Impossible Burger is awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
I like it better than some of the meat burgers I've had out there. But I don't see that fitting in with Burger King. But I guess it at least it makes sense because it's Burger King, Impossible Burger. But Burger King selling tacos makes no sense, just like McDonald's selling pizza makes no sense.
Although I think that, what was it, back in the 90s, Burger King was like probably the first major fast food chain to have a veggie burger. That I can recall.
I think so. There was another restaurant. I can't remember what that did like black bean burgers.
Was it? I know Chili's did. I don't know if there was far as like fast food.
I mean, there used to be a chain called Hot and Now. Do you remember them? Hot and Now?
No, I don't recall that one.
It was where you could buy like 10 burgers for $1. Like on a weekend.
With the Homer Simpson combo.
It was like super cheap. But they were just like little stand up. You couldn't sit in the restaurant. You drove up to it. And it
was that around here?
That's in Fayetteville.
Oh, okay, that's maybe why.
Because we would play like Dungeons and Dragons, and then we would all go out to Hot Now and be like, "We want 40 burgers," and it was like $1 a burger. It was like outrageously cheap, and so we'd buy 40 burgers, and they'd make them, and we'd be driving home with like and just. I mean, we got sick. We just got sick, and it was really bad for us.
Yeah,
but we were young and dumb, and. But at least, you know, Hot Now made burgers. That's all they did. But Taco Bell making, I mean, Burger King making tacos or McDonald's making pizza doesn't, it just, one chef I really don't care for is Gordon Ramsay. I think he's kind of an asshole. But one thing he said on one of his shows once, on the British show, was a good restaurant does one thing and does one thing right. And I do agree with that. So like,
yeah, that's true.
I'll give him credit for that. And McDonald's should do what they do best. We make shitty burgers and shitty fries.
Yeah.
Really fast. But
shitty Egg McMuffins.
Shitty Egg McMuffins.
Right.
McGriddles. Stuff like that. But when they're trying to do like pizza. Do you remember back in the 90s that Taco Bell used to, they tried to introduce sit down seating? You know, like where you would sit down and they would bring your,
right.
You know, here's your Whopper with cheese and your fries, sir. And it didn't work because it didn't make sense to anybody.
Yeah, because I remember Burger King. I remember going with my parents to Burger King.
Where they treat you like a king.
Right, and we were kind of like, you know, no one really expects that when you go to Burger King.
Yeah.
Like, no one really, you know, they're not, unless you're being ridiculous, no one really expects food to be like that.
Yeah.
Or at least from Burger King, you know, they've, you know, you're just paying to get a burger and
you just want
to sit down.
Just be in and out, you know?
Yeah.
Not
in and out burger, but.
Not to have. But you're not going in there to have the 4-star experience at a Burger King.
No, you're not.
Although, so. Interestingly enough, in Wake Forest, the Waffle House there, every Valentine's Day, they do candlelit dinners and you have to make reservations.
Have you done this yet?
I've not done it, but somewhere at my house, I have one of the flyers I took off their table.
Oh, really?
And it's
like
you know,
that's...
and it was, they were talking about, you know, have a special day at Waffle House, reservations accepted this one day, and they'd have like heart-shaped waffles and candlelit dinners, and it was romantic music playing on that jukebox. And
do you know about the Waffle House Index? Have we talked about that before?
Is that the FEMA one?
Right.
Yeah, where they'll clip. If there's a natural disaster, FEMA checks out the index of the Waffle Houses and if any of them close and they know some serious shit's going down, because Waffle House never closes. They're 24/7, unless I guess a meteor falls from the sky or there's a tsunami that necessitates them closing. Hospitals and Waffle House are the two things that'll never close 24/7.
Absolutely. So I've got some more food news for you.
Let's hear it.
So Pizza Hut has now been testing carryout pizza lockers, which is, I think the idea is that it's not like a vending machine where, in the classic sense of like, okay, the potato chips have already been made. It's like I guess the idea is like, it's for an introvert. So if you don't want to have to like interact with a human being, you can go to the pizza locker and just pick up your fresh made pizza.
That's actually kind of a neat idea.
I mean, it's kind of,
I would do it. I'd try it.
It probably makes sense business wise, but the press release calls it a boon to the time-strapped introvert in all of us. Because when I've rushed for time, I get an entire pizza to eat, because that's... I mean, I guess you can save some for later, but... So, you order the pizza through the Pizza Hut app. Oh, you can also go to the website in-store by phone call. So if you go in the store to, like, go to the pizza locker, that's kind of weird, but okay.
That defeat the purpose of having to deal with people. Unless it's just like a post office where they have like all the lockers and you just literally just walk in and pull out your pizza and you're gone.
Right.
That's kind of a neat idea, actually.
It is. It's interesting. So in the store, lockers with digital displays will show you which pizzas are for pickup with partial names in each locker so you know which order is yours. Customers double tap on the screen on their cubby and opens to reveal their order. And I think
I endorse this. I'm up for this.
It's aligned with special material to keep the pizza hot and drinks cold. Okay.
I had a similar experience that's kind of like this. A few years ago, I was in Japan, and I went to this place to get ramen. You know, ramen's all over the place in Japan.
Right.
And it was really interesting. Outside of this restaurant, it's in this area called Akihabara, which is like where you buy your Nintendo games and your bootleg electronics and stuff. And it had a vending machine outside. And it was, you put in your yen and you start tapping, like, I want this kind of ramen with this kind of noodle and these kind of sauces and these vegetables that go with it. It was all in Japanese, so I just hit random buttons. And I'm just taking ramen roulette. That's what it was. Melinda was with me, and she actually got a menu, and they brought her out one in English so she could pick out what she wanted, but I just went nuts. Caution to the wind.
So what happened?
So anyways, it spits out a ticket. Then what you do is you walk inside, you sit at a little booth, just a personal private booth. You know, me and Melinda, we kind of snugged in together, and the most interaction you have is a little door opens at your booth, the chef pushes out your ramen, then shuts it. So you see their arms and hands for just a few seconds, and that's the only interaction you had with them.
So you don't actually talk to the guy or anything, or nope. The male or female waitress, nope. Server.
They didn't even have a waitress. It was, well, they had someone that sat us there to the table, and that's all she did. She's like, here you go. And she didn't even say that, but she just gestured us to the table. But we selected everything in the vending machine. We paid for it at the vending machine. There's no tipping in Japan.
Oh, that's right.
They don't tip. You'll get your money back. That's an alien concept at that culture. So it's basically money in the machine, make my selection, sit down, and they push out ramen. And that was it. So I thought it was a neat experience, and the food was great. So I will try. Pizza Hut, you have the Chris Lahr pledge. I will try Pizza Locker if this ever rolls out in our area. I'm not a big Pizza Hut fan, but I'll try it because I like the idea.
I think it's actually not really a terrible idea because I guess the idea would be like, if there was a line, you wouldn't have to wait through it.
Yeah, you just walk straight to your locker and get your pizza.
Because, yeah, I always hate that when you have to like, you know,
half your lunch break is spent waiting in line.
And, yeah, and then like the person in front of you is like being asking for something ridiculous or just being annoying, and you just
wants to pay by check, personal check,
right? And you just want to like, you're just like, I'm simple. I'm just going to order this thing and leave, and I'm not going to give anyone trouble. But you know,
I think it'd be cool if more restaurants had something where I could just pull it right, like a heated oven kind of thing, and I could just go straight up, take it and go if I could pay in advance.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
why not?
Basically Grubhub, except I'm doing the driving.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm down with that.
All right. Well, that's
not weird food news. That's awesome food news.
Okay. There you go. Have you got any more food news for us?
Oh, okay. Here's one. I'm going to go back with our taco theme. Portland is throwing a topless taco festival for cancer research. According to the Oregonian, on August 17th, this August, so there's still time, folks, Watershed PDX is hosting all-day taco and burrito festivals to benefit breast and prostate cancer research. But, quote, there's a twist. Visitors are encouraged but not required to come topless for the tacos and wear, quote, booty shorts for the burritos. Tickets are called $15 to $20 for topless tacos and booties and burritos. Yeah.
So, what is your take on
You know, I think the human body is a beautiful thing.
Sure.
But one person's beauty is not another person's. And I don't know if I go, I don't know if I want to see some guy wearing booty shorts where it doesn't compliment that person 100%. Now, if it's what he wants to wear and he rocks it, more power to it. I support that. Won't shame anyone for that. Never. But it's just topless tacos. It's a weird concept.
So many things could go wrong there.
You know, it's a weird story, but there used to be this, okay, I'm just going to say it. There used to be this strip joint on I-95 outside of Campbell University where I did some graduate school there. And it was called Cafe Risque. And that's what it was called. It was off of exit 70.
It has a big light. Like it had, is it still there or is it?
The building is, but not the business.
It was like really, it had all those huge lights.
They want you to notice. Oh, yeah. Right.
A lot of the college students went there because it was right outside the dry county of where Bowie's Creek was. And they served breakfast food there. So like one time me and a friend went there and we sit down and they have like women dancing on the tables and they take our order. And the stripper like leaves the dance floor, walks over, takes our order, which was like waffles and eggs and stuff that we ordered, and brings it to our table. It was such a weird experience. And then she actually said, and I remember this exactly, and I'm not making this up, studio audience. She actually said, I'm going to step away now. I'm sure you don't want ass with your waffles. And she walks away, and me and my friend are just looking at each other like our jaws are dropping, like we cannot believe we just ordered breakfast food at a strip joint off of I-95. We never went back. We did it because we heard all the stories about the place. It was so weird. But maybe that's tainted my, no pun intended there, tainted my idea of the topless tacos and booty burritos. What about you? Would you go sans top for tacos?
I would say, I just don't think that's a good food. Like, if you want to be, you know, if everyone in the room is being cool and consensual and not bothering anybody.
Sure, yeah.
However, I think it's a very messy situation, so.
A sticky situation.
Right.
But it's got to be better than ass with my waffles, as that pleasant lady at the Cafe Risque once told us back in, I think it was 96.
So, okay.
Yeah, I was young and stupid. Now I'm old and stupid.
There you go.
But you know, I guess if it raises money for breast cancer and prostate cancer, I really can't criticize because those are good causes.
That's fair.
Yeah. But it's definitely, I want to sit in on the board meeting of Watershed PDX that said, you know, okay, I got this idea. Stick with me.
topless tacos. He's like got his hands out, like really selling it. That had to have been the greatest pitch ever to really sell that.
I think so.
Because, you know, if we can't even get Polygamy Porter in an ABC store, I don't know if that would fly here.
Yeah, I'm going to be the stick in the mud. I'm going to say vote no on this, so.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that. I'll just write a check.
Fair enough.
For the research.
So, the TGI Fridays.
Oh, shit.
In New Jersey. It's always
that's never a good way to open a story.
Right. So, TGI Fridays in New Jersey, a man has... The court has ruled that his lawsuit against TGI Fridays can proceed. The man is claiming that TGI Fridays broke consumer fraud laws by not publishing drink prices.
Interesting.
And so the suit claims that the gentleman was, which his name is Robert Cameron. Robert Cameron was shocked when he dined at a location in Toms River in 2012.
He just can't let it go.
Right, and discovered that upon paying that his mass-produced beer cost more than $5 and his soda cost nearly
$3. $5 for a beer, shocker.
Yeah, I don't know where this guy's been hiding for so long, but...
like even the PBR Tallboy is like... $2 to $3.
Yeah, exactly. So, and he claims he would not have ordered the drinks if he had known the prices beforehand. And he alleges that the chain purposely hasn't listed them because it has conducted studies showing it can charge more by doing so. And
can he prove that though? I mean, he can prove that we don't put our prices on a menu, but can he prove that they don't put their prices on a menu so they can gouge people?
Well, also, like, if you're that concerned, you can just be like, hey, how much is the...
You can just ask, yeah.
And he didn't do that.
Yeah. I don't think he has a case. I mean, I guess...
Yeah, I don't...
I'm not a lawyer or anything, but... That seems like a weak case. I think if I was a juror on that... If I had to miss a day of work and got caught on jury duty,
right?
I would throw my hat in with TGI Fridays, and that's probably the only time I'll ever say in my entire life that I'm gonna go with TGI Fridays on this one.
Yeah, I don't really. It just seems like a. I mean, obviously people sue for money, and that's, you know.
Sounds like an ambulance chaser kind
of. Yeah, and it's kind of like. You know, at a certain point, you're like, oh, they didn't give me a napkin or something. Like, where do you draw the line? Like, you know.
I'm suing damaged goods. DJ Doonsting said it was the greatest radio show in the universe, and it's not.
They have false pretenses.
That's right. I'm suing him for $10 million.
Which is funny because I've had some bad service that may or may not have been at TGI Fridays in years past, but.
I've heard their food may or may not be terrible.
Right, but then you're like, you know, I mean, what do you expect? And two, like, yeah, this dude, I think he needs a career or a hobby or something.
I wonder, you know what he needs? If the whole crux of his legal argument was they didn't charge beer prices. Now, hear me out on this, because I think we have an idea here. We can make money on this.
Okay.
This is inspiration. You're hearing this right here live, folks. If Pizza Hut is doing pizza lockers, why can't we have, like, liquor lockers? You order a mixed drink.
Yeah.
And the bartender makes it, puts it in, like, a nice cooler-style mini fridge where it can sit, and then you punch in the code. You'd have to somehow prove your license, maybe walking in, and you get your drink, and you pay for it in advance, and it's done. Liquor locker.
Hey, I like that.
You know, we could have a whole bar concept. You don't interact with anyone but the... No, that actually would be a terrible idea. I went to this place in Knoxville last December called the Poor Tap House. Not the Poor House, but the Poor Tap House. And all it was you walk in and the guy gives you like this key fob thing. And it's just a row of taps, like 60, 70 taps in this huge room, and you just put your key fob against the sensor, and it turns it on, and you pour the beer you want, and it measures how much you pour, and then it adds it to, like, your account. And at the end of the day, or whenever you're done, you give them your key fob, and they charge you out. But I hated the experience, because I didn't get to talk to a bartender. I didn't get to hear any recommendations. The guy that was giving me the key fob didn't know about the beers. He was just there to take my money.
Right.
And it didn't seem like there was any way to regulate, like, to stop someone, like, hey, you've had too much.
So you would probably give it two thumbs down?
That experience was a two thumbs down, but the idea of, I don't know, maybe I just got this. Some people, I guess if you have, like, are super introverted or have, like, some social anxiety, something like that is a great idea. It just wasn't for me.
Right.
And that could be maybe what Liquor Locker could do, you know? Maybe we get in with Taco Bell, the damaged goods Liquor Locker, sponsored by Taco Bell, or Pizza Hut. But that, I don't know. That I don't think that would fly in the ABC laws here.
Yeah, probably not. You
can't have polygamy porter because of the name.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of ridiculous, but
I'm never going to get over that. That's all I'm going to come home like, God damn it, Melinda! Did you hear about polygamy porter?
Basically, yeah. Well, that's...
Kick over the umbrella stand or whatever. I don't have them. Whatever's by my door, I'm going to kick that down and just rage against the ABC machine. Writing a letter.
So speaking of raging against the machine, do you want to play some music here?
Yeah, I would love some music.
All right. Well, I promised you, before we talk your head off anymore, I did promise you the Australian track of the week, which is a band from Australia called The Living Eyes.
The Living Eyes?
They are, and they have a new song out. It's a new 7-inch record. It's called Peak Hour Traffic.
I like
so it's good for your drive time music here.
Very Kraftwerk-y sounding.
Little, yeah, kind of does sound like peak. Maybe not the music as much, but a little less robotic. No offense to Kraftwerk, but
we love Kraftwerk.
Yeah, we do. And also after that, your Swedish track of the week, brought to you by Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
As promised, here is The Living Eyes with Peak Hour Traffic.
Yeah. Jocke Berg i Borgarsken.
Shoreline Vänster hatar Kent!
Thanks for listening to this episode of Damaged Goods Radio. If you like what you hear, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast. Find us on the web at damagedgoodsradio.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and tell your friends about how much you love or hate us. Also want to thank our producer and host, Emily Davidson. The intro music was a song called Layers by Electronic Senses. And as always, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.